Wouldn't you love to build a business you can run from anywhere in the world, whether that be your kitchen table or a beach in Fiji? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to Your Lifestyle Business, the show where I bring you into my life as a traveling entrepreneur and, along with some of my awesome guests, give you tips and strategies for building your own freedom business. Welcome to the show. Let's make it happen. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing? Jo here, and welcome to another episode, the last episode of 2020 of the Your Lifestyle Business podcast. As I just said, we are right at the end of 2020, embarking into 2021, depending on when you're listening to this. That's the weird thing about podcasts, isn't it? You might be listening to this and it might be like 2022 or something. Anyway, I am recording this at the end of 2020 as we move into 2021. I'd like to thank you very much if you have been listening to my podcast this year. It's very much appreciated. And I love to do these lessons learnt episodes. I used to do them as videos. I probably will do them as videos again in the future. Actually, I used to do them as webinars back when webinars were a real thing. I used to do these as webinars every year. This is the first one I've done in a while. I'm doing it as a podcast episode. But what I love about these lessons learned episodes is that it gives me an opportunity to share with you some of the things that I have learned along the way that I hope will both help and inspire you with your journeys and also hopefully help you to take some shortcuts. Because that's kind of the goal with mentors and stuff, isn't it? I have people that I listen to, people that I listen to their podcasts or I read their blog posts or whatever, and I try as much as I can to take the information from them with shortcuts some of the things that I want to do. So I'm really hoping that with Your Lifestyle Business, that's what I can do for you as a listener, as perhaps somebody who reads some of my blog posts, maybe a group member. I hope that with some of my experiences, I can kind of shortcut your journey a little bit. And that's the goal with these lessons learnt episodes, webinars, whatever you want to call them as well. So it's been a big year for me in 2020. It's been a big year for everybody. What a year it's been, really, for everybody. But pandemic aside, it's been a big year for me business-wise, because really 2020 is the first year in a while that I've really kind of got back to it. Obviously, I had my business right up to 2015 or so, doing the digital marketing and information marketing stuff. And then we embarked on our Amazon journey. Myself and my husband embarked on our Amazon journey. And that really took us from 2015 through to the beginning of this year, 2020. But in the middle of all of that, I took some time away. I kind of came off of social media, stopped doing most things. I carried on doing my Make It Happen Monday mainly, but I even had a bit of a break from that at one point. Because I kind of lost direction, to be honest with you, and I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do with the business. And then in 2019, I realized that what we'd been doing since we started this journey in 2010 is myself and my husband together had been building a business that funded our lifestyle. Now, whether that business was in selling video courses, which is how I started, or affiliate marketing, which is what I sort of grew into, or doing live courses, which is something I did as well, membership sites, selling on Amazon, running an e-commerce business. It didn't really matter what the model was over those years. The one thing we were doing was building an online business that gave us the freedom to travel and work from anywhere in the world and to fund our lifestyle rather than the other way around. Now, it didn't start that way. In the early days, we were kind of locked down, heads in front of the computer, really, really working hard. But over the years, as we made more money and became more financially free, we realized that we had a lot more freedom and were able to really kind of work our own hours and travel and all that kind of stuff. And that's where Your Lifestyle Business was born from, really. I realized that that's what we'd been doing all of those years, just building this fantastic freedom business. And I wanted to be able to share that with other people. I wanted to be able to say, hey, you know, this is such a great way of living life. This is such a phenomenal lifestyle. I'm not talking just about traveling the world. That's our thing. But just the freedom to be able to work completely for yourself, not as a massive startup, not with venture capital funding, not with, you know, overheads that are just going to kill all the enjoyment of running a business because you know you've got to pay off debts and shareholders and goodness knows what else. And also not having to work for somebody else. Just that beautiful middle ground of being able to run businesses that you really enjoy, that you get so much enjoyment and have so much fun with, and generate an income every month that could be a six-figure income, could be a seven-figure income. You know, you're not going to go and become the next Elon Musk or the next Mark Zuckerberg, but you're going to be super comfortable and be free to live the life that you want to live, whether that be traveling the world, working from your kitchen table, whatever, you know, that means for you, whatever that kind of freedom life means for you. And that's what I'm trying to achieve with Your Lifestyle Business. That's my whole goal with my blog and brand. I talk about the numbers. I talk about growing my business up to 100,000 visits a month and all the rest of it. But what I'm trying to do is to demonstrate another fantastic way of building a lifestyle business. And that's what I'm trying to do with everything I do. If you go and have a look at my blog post, my Amazon FBA post, my lifestyle business post, my how to run an e-commerce post, they're all geared towards here's how you start a lifestyle business, whichever business model you choose. So that really kicked in 2019 as the idea. I started Your Lifestyle Business, and then Rhett and I got married in February this year, just before the pandemic hit. And so I really didn't focus on my business much last year or the beginning of this year. So it really wasn't until summertime this year that it really all kind of kicked in. So it's been a really big year with the wedding and the pandemic and everything as well. and there's been a lot of lessons learned, and I'm going to share 12. I'm sure I've learned hundreds of lessons, but these are the ones that really kind of came to mind and that I wanted to share with you. So number one, the most important thing I really think I've learned this year, which I've been trying to learn probably for nigh on, you know, 40 years, is about focus. And I don't want to start where you groan and you go, oh God, Joe, you're like blimmin' banging a drum. But it is true. My dad, God rest his soul, God rest your soul, Dad, always used to say to me, Joe, you are trying to take on too much all of the time and you're never going to get anywhere because you're just distracted with too many things. You're never going to achieve what you want to achieve in life until you focus. You really focus on one thing, you know, until you're successful in that one thing. And then you can really start to expand and diversify. And I've quoted Keith Cunningham a million times to everybody around me. You get rich focusing on one thing, you stay rich by diversifying. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you follow your own advice. You know how you're really good at giving advice to other people, but not necessarily so good at keeping it yourself. And what I've found this year is there were so many options for me. You know, I wanted to do blogging. Yeah, absolutely. But I also really wanted to get my e-commerce business off the ground, which I'm looking forward to. Probably not in 2021, although I can't wait to do it. But it might even have to wait till 2022 with my new outlook. I really can't wait to start writing my books because I really want to publish a book. And I've got this podcast that I enjoy doing. I'm considering starting videos again at some point. I'm not really focusing on social media. I need to get social media. And there's just so many different things to do. And that's just with my one business. Along the way, we've also bought and played with a couple of e-commerce businesses this year. And I know that some of you guys out there listening have got more than one business venture. And all of a sudden, come sort of August this year, I started to follow a chap called Adam Enfroy, who was teaching all about blogging and how to make money affiliate marketing through blogging. I'm going to talk about him a bit more in my point number 7. And I decided to really kind of buckle down and start to get rid of things that were distracting me. And I pushed aside some of the things that I wanted to do on social media. I totally put making any videos on the back burner. I stopped doing podcast interviews so I could just do solo podcasts to make it easier to record them. I'm actually going to be even changing that up a bit in 2021. And I started to focus. I started to really just focus in on my blog. And even then, I've become a bit distracted with doing different things. And my goal moving forward in 2021 is to focus on guest posting because I know that's going to move the needle more than anything else I can do. So And because I've focused, I have this month reported growing visitor numbers. I'm on page one for two or three of my posts now. I'm on page two for six or seven of my posts now, and I'm trying to push them up to page one. My organic traffic is growing. My affiliate income is already starting to grow, and I'm starting to see results. And that is by really focusing in on one thing. And I have a team, by the way. I have about three or four people that I work with, and I still advocate absolutely focusing in as much as you can. So if you're there and you're a solopreneur and there's maybe you and one other, or even just you, and you're trying to grapple with two or three businesses, or you're trying to grapple with three or four totally different promotional systems within your one business, I really urge you, please, in 2021, set one major goal. So I could set a million goals for 2021. I could turn around and say, right, well, you know, I want to be generating X number a month. And certainly that's where my husband's brain is going. I could be saying, I want this many followers on social media. I want this many email subscribers, which I do. I want to grow my email subscribers as well, blah, blah, blah. But in my mind, I've got one goal and one goal only, and that is to get to 100,000 hits sessions a month on my blog by August 2021. That's my goal. Boom. One goal. I have a personal goal as well of weight loss, but I've had that for the last 20 years. So we're not even going to talk about that. But I have I have this one goal. So I urge you for 2021, focus. Just pick out of everything you're doing, pick one major goal and make that your absolute focus. And I promise you, if you do that, you will make more progress than you're currently doing with 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 goals. It's taken me so long to get here, and I hope that that helps. And I'm not saying that once you've done that, you'll be able to diversify. Do you know what I mean? But Seth Godin always says the shortcut is usually the longest route. So just focus in on that one thing, and I promise you, you'll get where you want to get quicker than you think you can now, focusing on a million different things. All right, number two. I promise this, I'm not going to do 10 minutes a point, by the way, but I just think that's the most important one. Number two, find a business model that works for you, not what you think you should be doing. So one of the reasons that I really struggled and I wasn't sure what business I wanted to do was because I'd really got myself embroiled in launches. Before we got into our Amazon business, I'd got myself very embroiled in launches. I'd done launches for traffic courses. I'd done launches for social media courses. I then did launches for my Amazon courses because that's kind of what I thought I should do. And my mentors at the time were incredible salespeople. One of my best mentors ever, a guy called Jason Fladlam, who was just a phenomenal salesman, one of the best salesmen I've ever come across in my life. And guess what? I am not Jason. I am not a great salesman. I'm not bad at the old persuasion techniques, I've got to be honest with you, especially when I get very excited about something. But selling ain't my jam. I don't like it. I hate it. And I tell you what I really hate is selling myself more than anything. Any kind of self-promotion drives me bonkers. I just get all... That's why guest posting and stuff has been such a huge comfort zone leap for me. That whole, hey, guess what? You know, I'm a great writer. I can write for you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't word any of my guests, any of my emails like that. I'm extremely humble with most of my emails, but even that, it's just that feeling of, oh God, they're going to think I'm an idiot, or they're going to reject me, or whatever. Clearly have some serious therapy issues I need to deal with there. But no, what I'm saying is I don't really like selling at all. Now, does that mean I'm never going to do a launch again? I have no idea. Maybe I will in the future, but I certainly wouldn't do launches the way I did do them, which was, you know, video after video, email after email, blah, blah, blah. I'm just not into it at all. And it kind of jars with my feelings on consumerism as well, and the way the world is going, and greed, and all of that kind of stuff, and the fact that I love living halfway around the world in communities of people who don't have very much, because the happiness levels are just so much higher, which is a whole other discussion. But what I'm saying is, find a business model that works for you. So whatever it is that you want to do, don't worry about what other people are doing. Don't ever think that you are not as good as somebody because you don't have their skill set. I am not a salesman. Doesn't make me not good at what I do. I am not a salesman. I am, however, a writer. I love to write. Oh, there we go. So I've suddenly found something I really, really love to do. So I should be writing. You know, I'm not a YouTuber. I do enjoy making videos, but I don't ever want to be a YouTuber as such. So I'm never going to go for that and then feel all disappointed because I'm just not good at it. So do what works for you. And this is why I chose the model I've chosen now, which what I'm, you know, the goal with my blog, as I said at the beginning of this, is to actually incorporate a few business models. So I'm going to build my audience, build my email list, sell e-commerce, journals and stuff. So I'm going to incorporate e-commerce, sell my books. So I'm going to incorporate publishing books, sell some video courses. So I'm going to incorporate video courses and then eventually sell some coaching at some retreats where I'll get coaches and stuff to come along. So I'm actually incorporating a few business models in what I'm doing, but I've chosen a model that I feel will support my lifestyle. So when you're thinking about which business you want to run, choose a model that you feel supports your lifestyle, something that you enjoy to do each day. You might be somebody who loves getting on camera and just wants to make videos every day. So great, don't run a website that's heavy on the writing. Go and start a YouTube channel and become a YouTuber. You may love interviewing people all day, every day. Great. Go and start a Facebook page and do Facebook Lives all day, every day, or start a podcast and focus solely and wholly on that podcast. If you look at people like James Altucher, his main thing is podcasting. He literally, that's pretty much all he does. And then recently he started doing Instagram Lives as well. So, you know, there are so many different ways that you can build a business online. If you're really into kind of data and you enjoy running ads and you love tweaking and doing all that stuff, great. Go and run an e-commerce business. It's absolutely brilliant for people who love tweaking ads and doing data and stuff like that. Or start a business doing other people's Facebook ads or something for them. But pick a model that really works for you. And if you're not sure what that is, I'll put a couple of links on the show notes. There's my 189 lifestyle business ideas post. You can go and have a look through that. And then also my how to build your online lifestyle business post, which is huge and goes through all of my favorite business models. Have a look at that as well. All right, so that kind of leads to, though, that number three is now is the time to build your online business. It really is. If you're thinking that you've missed the boat or you're too late or whatever, we haven't even started. What's happened in 2020 is that the pandemic has exacerbated what was already a moving trend, which was something that was already changing, which was that the world was moving online. And now the world is massively moving online. So you've now got retail businesses all pouring online and pouring resources into growing their businesses online. You've now got people working from home. You've now got people staying at home, eating at home, you know, watching movies and creating cinema experiences at home. A lot of things are now happening at home. Now is the time for you to build your online business. And that is such a huge lesson that I've learned in 2020, that albeit it's been a horrific year from building an online business perspective, the year has opened up opportunities for an equal playing field. You know, that's the most important thing for the small guys, for us small guys to get out there and kind of take our piece of the pie from the big corporations that have just been, you know, usurping the land for the last 20 years. I'm not going to get into a political discussion, I promise you. I have views. I refuse to post on social media because I don't want to get into an argument. But what I'm saying is that you will be doing a public service by taking whatever your idea is, whatever your service, the way you want to have an impact on the world, by taking that online and helping people to make their lives easier or their businesses easier or to make more money or to lose weight or to have better relationships or to shop easier, to, you know, anything at all where you're adding value, you're essentially helping the world out, because that's where it's at the moment. Everybody's spending more time at home. And if you've got an online business and they're scrolling and finding you, then you're in a great position to give them what they need. So that was number three. Now is the time to build your online business. And moving on from that, now is also a challenging time in the world. You know, people are at odds with each other. When you go onto social media, people are arguing before they're understanding. There's a lot more tension. And I think it's fear. You know, people are scared, understandably so. It's been a very, very challenging year. And so this was a big lesson for me this year. This is number four. I actually stepped away from social media. I found it really challenging, personally. I'm a very positive person. I'm a very upbeat person. And I found going onto social media would really bring me down. I felt there was so much trolling, so much arguing. I saw some of the people that I admire the most in the online marketing world, some of the girls in particular, who were just destroyed through, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, through some of the COVID stuff. And, you know, how dare any of them have a different opinion to some of their followers, and their followers would just come on and absolutely rip them to pieces. And these are women who have given their all over the years, who have written books, who've made videos, who've done podcasts, who have just given. And I just saw them systematically destroyed. And I was amazed how some of them, you know, were still standing at the end of it, but they were. And rather than sort of going into it, I kind of stepped away. I was just like, gosh, no, I don't want any part of that. It's horrible out there. And this is the big lesson, I think, moving into 2021 for all of us. Social media needs the best we have to offer. People need the best we have to offer. If you are in a position where you are generally a pretty upbeat person and you have good vibes to spread, then please get on social media and spread them. I realise that I've probably been a bit selfish stepping away because I have good vibes. I want to send out good vibes. And, you know, I want to post things that make people smile or make people laugh or help people out or inspire people or educate people. And yet, you know what, I may get trolled sometimes. It's going to happen to all of us. The minute you kind of step out and stick your neck above the parapet, you're going to get some unhappy people come and give you a hard time. But as long as what you're doing out there is sending out positivity, as long as, you know, and don't get embroiled in arguments and don't take things personally, and just always remember, every time you post, ask yourself, how am I going to help somebody else with this? Is this going to inspire somebody, educate somebody, help somebody, make them laugh? You know, just think that and give social media the best we can, because I really feel it needs it. It needs positive people. So this is a message to all the positive people listening. Let's start a movement on social media of positivity. All right, number five. Actually, that's a good one. It moves on to number five. All of these kind of move on. Whatever business model you choose, and I don't care if you are selling cardboard boxes, right? Whatever business model you choose, you need to focus on being insanely useful. That is my phrase for 2021. My goal in 2021 is to be insanely useful to you. You listening to me right now, whatever it is you're doing, whatever business model you're pursuing, whatever you're struggling with, whatever challenges you've got ahead of you, I am really hoping that at some point in 2021, I can help you. Either by a very specific business tip I give you, or maybe I've said something that just inspired you. Maybe I posted something that just set something off in motion in your head and you thought, oh God, yeah, that's it. That's what I want to go and do. Or that's how I need to think, or whatever. Or maybe just on a bad day, you suddenly saw an email from me and it made you smile and you thought, oh, sod it, come on, let's go and make the best of it. I just really want to be insanely, that is my absolute ultimate goal, to be insanely useful. And I ask you to think about the same in your business. So no matter what you're doing, what you're selling, ask yourself, how is this insanely useful to people? And the more you can answer that question, the more you will sell. The more people you will attract to you, without, even if that's not your end goal, even if you're just thinking, gosh, it'd be lovely to sell these, if you're actually just focused on, how do I give the maximum value here with this? How does this become insanely useful to somebody? Then all of a sudden, you know, the more people you're going to attract, the bigger audience you're going to have, the faster your business is going to grow. So just write a little post-it note above your desk, or stick it in your purse or in your phone or in your back pocket, your wallet or whatever, and just write on it, how can I be insanely useful today? How can I be insanely useful today? And then just keep asking yourself that question. And let's start another movement. The Positive Insanely Useful Club. That would be funny. Or the Insanely Useful Positive People or something. Anyway, all right. All right, number six. Collaborate. It's very difficult to run this business on your own. And I know because I've been a bit of a loner in the past. I've always had people on my team. Some people greatly missed on my team who are no longer with us. But I have shied away a little bit from collaborating with people in my niche, yeah, from going out and doing collaborations with other people. And some of that, you'll be surprised to hear, is actually a little bit of fear, a little bit of, you know, who am I to kind of go and approach that person because, you know, they'll probably just think I'm an idiot. See? If anybody's sitting there thinking, what, Joe thinks like that sometimes? Oh, yeah. We all do. Mainly us girls, I think. But there's probably some of you guys out there that do as well. My husband doesn't, by the way. but, you know, I don't know what that is. But whatever it is, I was listening to a fantastic podcast recently, actually, by Amy Porterfield. You know, I mean, we all have those moments. And she was talking about a moment where one of her customers had sent her a scathing email and it sent her into a spiral of self-doubt. And she was talking about how she dealt with that. And oh my gosh, I'm going to email her because she's somebody I want to speak to at some point because I think she's awesome. And just tell her how much that podcast resonated with me, because there is a woman who's been super successful for years and years and years, and she got sent into a spiral of self-doubt. So we all have those moments of self-doubt. Don't think, you know, any of us are totally infallible to those moments of self-doubt. But the simple fact is that trying to do this journey on your own is very, very lonely, all right? And it's much easier and much more fun if you start to collaborate with people around you. So certainly in the Facebook groups and stuff like that, just look out for collaborations. A great way of doing it, actually, is if you see somebody struggling with an element of their business that you feel you can do really well, reach out to them and say, hey, look, I noticed the question that you asked today about X, and that happens to be something I'm pretty damn good at. Do you want to jump on a call? And I'll just walk you through how I do it. And before you know it, you're talking, and then you're maybe going into partnership, and then you're maybe running a little business together, and away you go. So the best way to collaborate isn't to think of your needs and think, right, I need this, I need that, I need this. It's to go out and start looking for what do other people need and where can you help. And you'll be amazed that when you start going out and look at it like that, the opportunities that you'll see pop up. And it might not be the first person you speak to, the second person, but you might just meet somebody one day on a call, 20-minute call, click, and away you go. That's how I met my good friend Jared, who has helped me design all sorts of web designs and stuff over the year. And actually, that was how I met Neil, God rest his soul, my lovely Neil, who was my technical manager for years, and who very unfortunately passed away a few years back. That's how I met him. We started talking, he started helping me with some technical stuff, and away we went. So, you know, there's all sorts of collaborations to be had online, and it's lonely doing it on your own. So in 2021, just think about how you can maybe collaborate, help other people, and create some win-wins. All right, number seven. I mentioned his name in number one, and I want to talk about him now in number seven. Get a mentor. Find somebody who's running a business that you want to run. So find somebody who's already doing the business model that you want to pursue, and then follow, stalk them. Literally stalk them. So I basically, back in, I think it was maybe about June time, I heard Adam Enfroy being interviewed on a podcast, and I'm so ashamed to say I can't remember the podcast now, but I heard Adam Enfroy being interviewed, and he was talking about how he'd grown his blog, how he was trying to kind of show how you could model the Pat Flynn model, but in today. So Pat Flynn started in 2010 and he built his site over years, growing his affiliate income, etc. And Adam wanted to show how he actually started at the beginning of 2018, I think it was. And he wanted to show how you could do it now, how you could quickly grow a blog and generate affiliate income in today's society. And he'd grown his blog super fast, and he'd got from, you know, 1,000 hits a month up to nowadays he's at like 500,000 hits a month, and he's generating somewhere around 80 grand a month. And so when I heard him on this podcast, I started to look him up. I started to follow his blogs. I then joined his group, and then I just started to follow everything. So he hasn't even released a course yet. Everything I've learned from him has been from his blog posts. I bought a little like backlinking course for about $40 that he was selling, and it had some very basic instructions on there. So everything I've pretty much learned has been from his blog posts, and it's been great. And my blog is growing, and I've really learned a lot from him. So have a look around, see who is running the business model that you want to run and is doing really well with it, and start to follow them. You don't even have to buy courses or coaching or anything like that. Just start to follow them. Read their blog posts, listen to their podcasts, watch their videos, and just soak in all the information they give you and really follow what they're doing. And that's key as well. Don't always listen to what somebody says. Look at what they do. Gary Vaynerchuk always says that. Hey, don't listen to what I'm saying. Watch what I do, you know? So get yourself a mentor, somebody you can follow, and trim down the amount of people that might be. So if you've currently got email subscriptions to 20 different mentors, can I suggest that you trim it down to follow one main model? Because the problem is Adam will talk about blogging in one way, and then I might go over to a guy called John who runs a site called Fat Stacks, and he'll talk about blogging in another way. And then I might listen to Jeff Goines, who's a writer and runs a writer, you know, mainly talks about authoring and writing, mainly talks about being an author and writing skills, and he talks about building a blog in another way. And, you know, there are so many different ways to reach the same goal. So none of them are wrong and none of them are right. It's whatever suits you, if that makes sense. So you need to pick one path and then stick on that path. So if you're currently following 20 people, can I suggest you go through those 20 people and find the one that resonates with you the most right now? Doesn't mean you're never going to go back to any of those people again. Including me. You may say, do you know what, Joe? I like your stuff, but you're not who I need to be following right now, but I'll catch up with you later in the year. It's not that you're disappearing off. It just means that right now you're going to get your head down, you're going to focus on this one strategy, this one path, and you're going to follow this person and really, you know, go for it and just take in everything they say and not necessarily take any advice from anybody else right now until you've mastered a certain element of your path. I hope that makes sense. All right, number 8. I have said this so many times, but whatever you're doing, niche down. niche it. Even with what I'm doing at the moment, your lifestyle business, is still a bit too broad. I'm going to make it work because I'm determined to do so, but it's going to take a lot longer. So if I was specializing just in e-commerce, let's say that all I was going to do was teach people how to use and how to build a site on an e-commerce store, then I would be able to build my audience and my brand much faster because people would recognize me as being somebody who focuses on e-commerce. The problem with my brand is people will say, what does Jo do? Oh, she teaches you how to build a lifestyle business. Oh, cool. What's that then? Oh, well, it could be e-commerce, might be Amazon, it might be blogging, it might be video courses, information marketing, writing a book. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in there. And when I get down to point number 10, then I'll explain a little bit more how I can pull that together. But it's still a bit broad. And like I said, it's not that you can't make it happen with a broad niche. It just takes a lot longer. So no matter what you're doing or what you're selling, niche down. Get as focused as you possibly can and then diversify later. So, you know, even if you're currently selling, I don't know, candles. Let's say you're selling candles. Niche down. Sell specific candles. Sell candles for meditation. Sell candles especially for yoga. Sell candles that all smell like the ocean. I don't know. But niche down. Don't just sell candles because it's so generic and it's so big and it's so vague. So sell specific candles. Sell candles that never ever, you know, go out or something. Or sell candles that are made in a very specific way with a specific design. Or they're made in a specific place with specific materials or something like that. Do you see what I mean? my daughter wants to start a little makeup business, and we started to have a look through this makeup business. And I said to her, you know what, honey, I really feel that we would do better if we just started with, say, lipsticks, and we just sold lipsticks instead of selling an entire makeup range, because we're just competing against everybody else, and we've got a niche. We've got to try and niche right down. If we don't go with lipsticks, then we kind of niche down and say, well, we're only going to sell makeup that appeals to 14 to 18 year olds, for instance, or we're only going to sell makeup that's a particular color. You know, we're just going to sell purples. You're going to get to know us because all we sell is purple shades of different makeup, whether it be eyelashes, lipsticks, whatever. So we're trying to work that out at the moment. But I urge you, no matter what you're doing, try to niche it down, even if you have plans to be huge later on, because it just means that you'll be able to grow your business faster. You can really master that one corner of your business and then begin to expand and grow as you get more customers and a bigger audience, all right? I know it's tough. I know that's really tough. Niching down is really, really difficult because we kind of get that FOMO and we think we're going to miss out on something else if we don't. But I can't stress enough over my 10-odd years of being in this business and the amount of competition there is out there now, how important it is for you to carve your path in the market by niching down. And if you absolutely refuse to do that, if you're like, no, Joe, I don't want to niche down, I love what I'm doing, well, just be prepared for a long haul, because it's going to take you a lot longer to grow, okay? All right, number 9, consistently show up is on my list. And this is an interesting one, because I think the landscape has changed over the years, and I don't think it is absolutely necessary anymore to publish a video every Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, or to go live every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, or to, you know, post a post every day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, because the world we live in is so fast paced now and it's so distracting that I don't think people necessarily know whether you went live at 9 o'clock in the morning or posted at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or, you know, whatever. And I'm not entirely sure, unless you really have such a loyal following that they're literally sitting there waiting for you to go live at 2 o'clock every afternoon. I mean, if you think about the television, we don't even wait for our favourite shows anymore, do we? We don't even set the alarm and say it's 7 o'clock on a Monday night, we must all be sat around the telly to watch this, because we know that it's going to be on demand. We know that we can just go and watch it whenever we want. And that's the way it's kind of working online as well. So I don't think, we always used to say consistency means about being there every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. I'm not certain that that is important anymore, but I'm still certain that you need to consistently show up. So whether or not you do something every day at 5, or you do one day at 5, another day at 3, another day at 1, or you do something every Tuesday at 2, or you just do it every Tuesday, or you do something on a Tuesday and a Thursday, you know, it doesn't really matter, as long as you're consistently showing up. I noticed it today, actually. I went on to Facebook, and as I went on to my home feed, I noticed that the first thing that popped up was a live with Mari Smith. And I just thought, wow, I have no idea whether she does them on a consistent basis, on a specific day or a time or whatever, because I never notice. But what I do notice is that very regularly when I go onto Facebook and I go onto my feed, there is a new live by Mari. Not every day, but just regularly. So I regularly see her popping up with a live, you know. So I think it's just really important that you set yourself your own schedule for your own, you know, sanity, and say, right, I'm definitely going to be publishing a Facebook Live or a podcast or an email or a blog post or whatever, you know, twice a week or every Tuesday and Friday, for your own sanity, not for other people, for you. So you know you've made a commitment on a Tuesday and a Friday, you're going to post a blog post. On a Tuesday and Friday, you're going to post a video. On a Tuesday and Friday, you're going to publish a podcast. Whatever it is that you're doing, make that commitment for you. Don't worry. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't worry about the detail. Doesn't necessarily have to be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but just be consistent in showing up for your audience. Does that make sense? And that's something I've not been really good at this year, actually. I've been quite poor at that. in consistently showing up, and it has shown in my results from my social media engagements and stuff. My engagement has plummeted where I have not been consistently showing up. So for me, in 2021, that's a lesson I've learned this year and a lesson I intend to change moving forward in 2021. Right, number 10. And again, this is one for, even though we've been running our business for 10 years now, or businesses for 10 years, and have had lots of people along the way that have worked with us and all the rest of it, myself and my husband still get very embroiled in the day-to-day stuff. And for us, moving forward in 2021, we are really focusing on who, not how. That is actually a saying by Peter Diamandis, who is the chap behind Abundance 360. I won't go into it, just go and look him up, Peter Diamandis. He's a great guy, very forward-thinking. And he always says, who, not how. So whenever you're thinking about something, rather than thinking, oh, how do I do that, ask yourself, who? Now, look, I know that the first thing that comes to mind when you do that is, well, I don't have the money for who. You know, I just can't afford somebody. And I get that. But what I urge you to start thinking in 2021 is, who could do that if you could afford it? So which parts of your business would you love to outsource if you could? And maybe right now you're not going to go and get yourself a full-time VA, but maybe you can go on to Upwork.com or Fiverr.com and you can employ somebody just to do that little contract for you or that little thing for you. Maybe you can come onto Facebook and say, hey guys, I'm really struggling with this part of my business. Who's an expert in this? And, you know, maybe wants to do some kind of deal to work with me on this particular thing. You know, what are the other ways that you can maybe get people involved to help you out in the areas of your business where you are the weakest in those areas, or you just don't enjoy doing those parts, or you just feel that other people could help you and do them better? Start to get creative. I haven't read this book yet, so I'm not recommending it because I've read it, but it is something on my list for 2021 to read. Benjamin Hardy, along with Dan Sullivan, have actually written a book called Who Not How. They've totally nabbed that headline from Peter Diamandis, or maybe Peter Diamandis nabbed it from Dan Sullivan. Who knows? They're both have been long in the game, the pair of them, and they're probably great friends. But they have written a book called Who Not How, and I haven't read it yet, and I'm going to. It's on Amazon, and it's called Who Not How by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. So I will link to that in the show notes. I think it's worth reading. I'm going to have a read of it, and I will certainly come back to you and let you know how I find it. I love Dan Sullivan's stuff, though, and I enjoy reading Ben Hardy's stuff as well. So I think it's probably going to be a very worthwhile book. But I urge you to start thinking down those lines, even if you just can't afford it yet. Just start thinking like that. Because the problem is when we don't, we just do get ourselves embroiled in some of the things we really don't like doing, and then we don't move forward with the business. And not even just the things we don't like doing. It's just so slow. We can't get any momentum when we're doing it all on our own because everything takes so long. So having other people who can help you, even just, and that's the beauty of the world we live in now with Upwork.com and Fiverr.com and Freelancer.com and Guru.com and PeoplePerHour.com and, you know, all those kind of things. There are people out there who will do little jobs for you for next to nothing, for just a few dollars, and they can do something better than you'll be able to do yourself, and it will help speed up the process and help give you some momentum, which will help you to earn money faster, which will help you to pay for more resources. So who, not how, is a question I'd like you to start asking yourself in 2021. All right, number 11, two more to go, guys, and then I'm going to call it a day and let you get back to all your Christmas and New Year celebrations. Did I say Merry Christmas at the beginning of this podcast? If I didn't, I do excuse myself. Merry Christmas. I hope you've had a lovely Christmas. But just two more and I'll let you get back to your Christmas and New Year celebrations. This is a really big one for me this year. I've been listening to Simon Sinek's Start With Why book. And I have watched his TED talk a few times. And this is what I was saying about my niche being a bit broad with your lifestyle business on point number 8. What's going through my head now and what I really want to spend 2021 honing and getting very clear on is my brand ideal. And I've talked about my brand ideal in past podcasts. Yeah, episode 52. If you go and have a listen to episode 52, it's called How to Stand Head and Shoulders Above Your Competition. What I'm talking about is your brand ideal. In other words, what do you believe? What does your brand stand for? What's your higher purpose? And the examples I give are Red Bull, who sell a sugary drink, and they turned their higher purpose into extreme sports. They wanted to talk about action and adventure. And now they're major sponsors for all the big extreme sports around the world and Grand Prix and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, a much bigger brand now than just sugary water, which is what they started out as. Dove as well. Dove is about body image. It's all about positive body image. And they sell shower gel and soap and what have you. But look at their brand ideal, their higher purpose for being. Nike is another one. They sell t-shirts and shorts and shoes and all the rest of it. You know, they're an apparel company, but they also sell the idea that anybody can do it. Anybody can get out there and take action and be who they want to be. And that's what Nike sells. So, and that's what I was talking about with my brand. Yes, okay, I tell you how to build a membership site and how to build video courses and how to build a blog and a podcast and make money doing this and make money doing that and run an e-commerce store and all the rest of it. But actually, what do I believe? And who are the people that I want to attract to me who believe what I believe? Now, I know that I believe that building a business that funds your lifestyle is huge. I know that I love that whole kind of freedom aspect and helping people to build a business that allows them the freedom to live the life they want to live, whether that means traveling or working from home or spending more time with their family or whatever. I know that they're my kind of overall missions, but I'm trying to articulate my brand ideal. And I know it's all around that whole lifestyle, travel, etc. But for me, 2021 is really honing and figuring out that. What is my overriding message for my brand that I really want to be able to resonate with people so that when they come to my brand, that's what they're getting. It's not about just learning how to build the business. It's not about just learning how to build video courses or whatever. It's something deeper in there. It's that deep core belief that this is a path that I want to go on. This is something I want to pursue. This is something I want to do because I believe in it. And it's all around that travel, lifestyle, having an impact, that kind of stuff. So I ask you to do the same in your business through 2021. What do you believe? What's your higher purpose for being? And it may sound crazy, but this is what is going to stand you above your competition. I'm going back to my candle example. The only reason I pick candles is because I've got some on the table in front of me right now. But if you just sell candles, you just sell candles, and you're selling candles in amongst 1,000 people who sell candles online. But what if your higher purpose for selling candles or your brand ideal was to do with meditation, was to do with being able to, you know, have a more peaceful mindset, was to do with relaxing and letting go of anxiety and things like that. Oh, and we happen to sell candles. You know, what if that was your brand ideal and your higher purpose? So, does that make sense? I just think that makes your brand so much more powerful if you can work with that mindset. If you can start with, and as Simon Sinek says, we don't do business with people who want what we have. We do business with people who believe what we believe. That's the whole thing. We don't do business with people who want what we have to sell. We do business with people who believe what we believe. And that's what the biggest, strongest brands do. Apple, people believe in their products. That's why they do business. And you could look around you and quote a million brands that do that, but you can also look around you and quote a million brands who don't. All they focus on is what they do. They never focus on what they believe. They don't focus on why they're doing it. And if you do that with your business, then I honestly believe you will stand head and shoulders above your competition. And keep your eye on my business in 2021, because that's going to start coming through in everything I publish. It's going to start coming through in all of my images. Oh, it's already there, I think, in my blog post and everything. The images of travel, the images of the ocean, the images of freedom, because I know that's a core part of it. But it's going to really start coming out in 2021, what I believe and how I resonate with people who believe in what I believe. Have I said believe enough? Do you believe in what I'm saying? All right. So think about your brand ideal. Okie dokie, final one, number 12. This is the most difficult one out of all of them, especially if you're just starting out. And I'm going to put my hand up right now and say that this wasn't the way it always was for us. It has definitely come into play in the last few years, and we had to go through the hard times to come out the other end and realize this is what it was all about. But if somebody had said this to me from the beginning, I may have approached it differently. But lifestyle first, that is absolutely our motto. And I think this year, 2020, has really proven how important that is to all of us, to our own sanity. I feel, without getting into a deep political discussion, that one of the reasons the world is going in the direction it's going in at the moment is because of greed, and people are moving too fast, and we're living in an abundant world where people have so much but still think they need more. And I just think if we took a breath, if we all just took a breath and said, hey, you know what? How about lifestyle first? How about we actually don't move so fast, and we don't try and gallop to the end here, and we're not trying to make $1 million by yesterday, or losing 50 pounds by last week, or whatever your goals are? How about if we just slow down a little bit and thought about the people that we want to spend time with? I was talking to a colleague of mine this morning who was telling me that the most important thing, the most important asset in our life is time. You know, when you spend time with somebody, you don't have to be doing anything. You don't have to be drinking together or eating together or gymming together, or you don't have to be doing, as long as you're spending the time. You know, that's the most important thing. It's just having that time together, that connection that I feel that the world is missing a bit at the moment. And if you're thinking, well, I don't have the money, Joe, I haven't got the time because I haven't got the money. Well, money doesn't buy a walk in the park. Money doesn't buy you taking your shoes off and just walking through the grass and feeling the grass beneath your feet. Money doesn't buy a quick cup of coffee with your friend. Well, it does, to be fair. If you go to Starbucks, you need to take out a second mortgage for a coffee in there. But money doesn't buy you making a coffee at home in a flask and meeting a friend on a park bench to sit and have a chat for an hour. Money doesn't buy a game of Monopoly with your family at home. You know, money doesn't buy a phone call to say, hi, I was thinking about you. How are you? I miss you. I love you. And I don't want to get all woo-woo on you, but we just all move so fast, all of us, you know, man, women, children, kids at school. We're all just moving so fast, trying to produce. Let me tell you a really quick story before I go. This isn't on my notes, so I might kind of go off on a tangent a bit here, but I just think it's really important. So Rhett and I, in the summer months this year, we went up to a place called Ayutthaya, which used to be the old capital of Thailand. And it's beautiful. There's some big old ruins up there, and it's just absolutely amazing. The whole kind of influence of the Buddhists and the way they built their temples, and then there's Hindu influence, and there's, you know, all this stuff. It's just phenomenal. It just really is so incredibly beautiful, all the buildings. Anyway, we're cycling around a park, seeing all these old buildings and fantastic statues of Buddha, etc. And we see this little Thai man, and he's got a trowel, and he is fixing this path that is a bit destroyed. And you can see him, he's gonna spend I don't know how long redoing the grouting on this big old path. And there's just him and manual tools and a hat, and it's hot. And Rhett and I were cycling along, and we just noticed it's literally him and his trowel. And I started to think about how countries that have got less money, countries that are seen as poorer countries, are that way because they have lower productivity. Because countries that have really high productivity, have really high GDPs, right? And the countries that have low productivity have lower GDPs, and therefore they make less money and all that kind of stuff. And I was asking myself, I was cycling around, is that actually a bad thing? I mean, yes, I get that capitalism and all the rest of it has raised people out of poverty, and I get all of that. But at the same time, this man will trowel his way through that path. It will take him weeks, whereas in the UK or America, it would probably take one day and a couple of guys and a machine and boom, 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 and it's done. But it's going to take him weeks. He's going to get paid every single day that he's out there. That money is going to be enough for him to go home and feed his little family and for them to spend time together in the evening. And no, he's not going to have the super luxuries of life. No, he's not going to have the latest plasma screen TV or the latest iPhone or whatever, but he's going to have enough to survive with his family, to eat meals together at home, to, you know, live a good life. And I just, sometimes I just have to ask myself, wow, in our culture, in the Western culture, we've moved so fast and it's so important for us to be successful and it's so important for us to earn a lot of money and it's so important for us to have the latest doodad. And have we actually lost sight sometimes of the little things in life that actually make us really happy, like spending time with our family, like walking in the park, like having a coffee with a friend, you know, those little things. So anyway, I'm sorry if I got really deep there, but hey, I have been talking about beliefs and higher purpose and things like that, and maybe that's going to be part of my belief system with your lifestyle business, which is taking things back to simpler times, you know, leading a simpler life and actually maybe being a bit happier because of that. Who knows? Anyway, thank you so much for listening. They have been the lessons that I've learned in 2020. It's been a fascinating, eye-opening and interesting year. There are a few changes afoot for my business in 2021. I'm not going to start going through what they are yet because one of my mottos moving forward is don't talk about it, do it, and then talk about it after you've done it. Great influencers act before they talk is on one of my boards at home. So there will just be some changes. You'll see them in the emails or the group or wherever that you engage with me online. But I'd just like to thank you so much for your support. Thank you if you've been listening to my podcast. Thank you if you've been reading my blog posts. Please continue to do so. Also, please make sure you do come and join the Facebook community. That's going to be a very big focus for me into 2021. If you go to Facebook and just type in Your Lifestyle Business and look on groups, come along to the Your Lifestyle Business group. It's been on a bit of a back burner 2020, but it's going to be becoming a priority for me in 2021 moving forward. So please come and join that. That's where a lot of my content and where our conversations are going to be. You can ask lots of questions and network with like-minded people all on a similar journey. And yeah, that's where it's all going to be happening. So I hope to see you in the group. And just thank you very much for listening to this podcast. Very, very Merry Christmas to you. I do apologize if I didn't say that very first when we got on the podcast, and of course a very happy new year. Here's to a fantastic 2021, and I look forward to raising a glass to you at midnight on the 31st. Thanks again, have an amazing week, and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To join in the conversation, please head over to yourlifestylebusiness.com, where you can find links to podcasts, show notes, and sign up to download my free ebook, How to Build a Business You Can Run from Anywhere in the World. Also, make sure you come and join our Facebook community. Just search for Your Lifestyle Business on Facebook, and you'll soon be sharing ideas with like-minded entrepreneurs all on the same journey. Lastly, if you have a moment, please subscribe and quickly rate this podcast on iTunes. It takes a tenth of a second to hit the little stars, and your rating will ensure it gets out to more people and impacts as many as possible with the message, make it happen. Thank you so much. See you next time.